Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk about the section of the OHSAA White Book and an article called Getting Your Head Right, Using the Slot to Get the Most Accurate Strike Zone. Or Get Your Head Right, if I'm going to give the guy his props.
Yeah, Get Your Head Right. Yep. So we've heard the adage, get your head right. So in softball umpiring, that means putting your head into a position where you can track the ball from the pitcher's hand to the catcher's glove and see the whole strike zone. So that means using the slot.
Yeah, and there's some...
You got to use the slot.
And the thing is, this is... Using the slot is the direction. I've never heard anyone say, don't do it in any clinic I ever gone to. But there are people that kind of argue about whether this is a good idea and for various reasons and why you want to do this and not do that. And why can't I be more like a major league umpire who does this and I'm over the center or I'm here, I'm there. There's a lot of good reasons for it. We're gonna talk about some of those.
Yeah, we'll talk about them. So very recently came across my feeds was somebody had, not my feed, it wasn't my feed. It was in the softball umpires Facebook group, I think.
Yeah.
Somebody said something about, hey, the NCAA is moving away from the slot and moving to the thing. And it's like, no. No, they're not. There's no direction for doing that, at least not yet. Anyway, so what is the slot, Pete? The slot is the area between the catcher and the batter. So, yeah.
So your eyes should be beside, but not in the strike zone, and set no lower than the top of the strike zone. So usually that just gives you an idea that if the ball comes in, you got to look up slightly, then ball. This position gives the umpires the best view of the inside edge of the strike zone, where most pitchers like to work. It also gives you the best view of the top and bottom edges of the strike zone, as well as a consistent view of the outside edge. So not a perfect view, but a consistent view. And if you are consistent and you understand what a strike looks like from that position, you can call it. And you should know a strike on the outside will look like it is slightly to the right of the edge of the plate. You will see dirt. And if you were to go stand up and move, it's actually over the edge of the plate. So,
that's right.
But if you know that that's what it looks like, then you call that because yeah. That's what it is.
So I went to a national clinic for USA softball many years ago. Wendell was with me. And one of the clinicians there had a softball on a stick. Mm-hmm. So was able to extend the stick and then he would put you in your slot and say, okay, get set. And then he would bring the softball in and make a bunch of different strikes and have you call him, you know, is this a strike? Is this a strike? Is this a ball? Is this a, you know, whatever. And it's like, oh, you can't even see that one from where you're at, dude. You know, you're positioned inappropriately. So
it's really one of the best drills, honestly, for strikes and balls.
For sure.
The ball on a stick drill, or even if you don't have a ball on a stick, ball on a friend's, at the end of a friend's hand.
Yeah.
Right. Is really a great drill for this.
It sure is. So how do we get that positioning? So positioning too far over the plate and in the strike zone. So this takes away the accurate view of the inside pitch, particularly breaking pitches. So anything on a right-handed batter, you know, that's going to be breaking, you know, screwballs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You really have a hard time seeing that. It also increases the possibility that the catcher, in rising quickly to receive the pitch, blocks your view, right? So setting over the plate can create inconsistencies in calling pitches at the top and bottom edges of the strike zone, too. Absolutely true. You can't get too far over the plate and strike zone, or you will have these problems for sure. Catcher blocking is definitely a thing.
Yeah.
If you get too far to the right, she's going to block you. And sometimes she'll slide over to the left,
mm-hmm.
and be in your area. If that happens, Pete, what do you do?
Raise up slightly.
Raise up. Yeah, go up. So what happens if I set too low?
So if you start out too low, reaching your set position with your eyes below the top of the strike zone, this can create inconsistency there at the top. So like I mentioned, if you're in the right position, you know that if your eyes go up a little bit, you know it's a ball. But if you are set low, actually up a little bit could have been the top of the zone. And now you've lost, like, it's up, but not too far up, but how much, but then there. And if you're not exactly in the right spot every time, because how do I know that I'm always 2 inches below the top of the strike zone? You're probably not. You've created a lot of fuzziness around your tops.
Yeah, fuzziness. And fuzziness is bad.
Yeah, and especially for the top of the zone. So you already know that's going to be controversial calling almost all the time. Is like those are ones that a lot of people have a lot of feelings about where the top of the zone is.
Right.
And if yours changes from pitch to pitch, oh boy.
That's a bad idea. All right. So one of the worst ones, I think, is setting up too deep. So too far behind the catcher mm-hmm. and the batter. And so when that happens, that takes away your view of the total strike zone and increases the possibility of being blocked. Almost guarantees.
Yeah, you lose the back half of the plate in that case. So you can see the front edge usually, but you move too far back. The catcher's head and shoulders usually end up blocking, you know, like I said, the back half of the plate, the point, everything like that. And then depending on where you're standing, also maybe a good portion of the outside of the plate. So that's
right.
Not awesome.
So what's the what about the head placement that puts your eyes in the strike zone, Pete? Why is that bad?
Well, one thing is if you are in the strike zone is where you want the ball to be, right? So people are throwing at that. And when stuff's coming right at you, you're going to blink, flinch, react in some way that's negative. And you know what happens when you are blinking or flinching? You are not seeing the ball. And that is the opposite of what you want to do when you're calling balls and strikes.
Yeah, 100%. So all these miscues can be corrected with the proper positioning that puts the umpire's head in the slot.
So what do we got here? We got, first thing you want to do, so we've been talking a lot about head and everything else, but the first point about getting your head into the right place is getting your feet into the right place. So you establish your position behind the plate by stepping behind the catcher with your foot opposite the batter. So in reality, it's going to end up being the foot that is the same side of your body as the batter is. So a right-handed batter, it's your right foot, right? And if you're a left-handed batter, it's your left foot, right. Even though that's the one furthest from the batter. I don't know if I made it more confusing or not, but I mean, it is the same.
Yeah.
I mean, the right-handed batter, you use your right foot and then you stick the foot right in the middle. So you step forward. For most of us, that foot will be directly behind the point of the plate, extended about 10 to 12 inches from the catcher.
Yeah.
That's right. And those people with larger or smaller strides adjust accordingly. David.
Yes, for me, for sure. I'm usually a little bit right of that with my first step because I have to get wider, especially doing
to get lower
ball like this with the smaller players. A lot of the players are smaller in high school ball than the NCAA folks.
So wait, so you're saying in order to get lower, you're going to get wide to lower. You're not going to bend at your hip.
Not bending at the hip. My back can't take it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I want to get wider. So I'll start a little bit wider than that. But once you set that first foot, that anchor foot, once you set that first foot, you're going to then create your heel toe and your good pelvic alignment, right? So what is good pelvic alignment? Pelvic alignment says I want my left and right hips. If I had a stick or a broom, like a broomstick, right across my hips, I want that broomstick to be pointed at the plate. So I want to see the whole plate and I'm already inside of that plate. So in order to do that, I have to shift and go sideways, right? A little bit sideways. Mm-hmm. And so twisting a little bit. So I do that by creating a step toward the batter that is closer to the, more forward, closer to the pitcher's plate.
And the foot that's a non-foot of the hand that the batter is that you use the step when that's away from the center of the...
That's
kidding.
The one. Yeah, that's the
screwing
one.
That up.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, no, yeah. So, it's the heel toe kind of thing
right.
is what we're
so
talking
you're
about
creating
here.
Creating a heel toe, and I want to get good pelvic alignment with my pelvis so that I can actually now be kind of looking. I have a slight left tilt to my head, not tilt sideways, twist to my head, right? I don't want to tilt. I want to be straight up and down, but I'm going to turn my head a little bit to see the pitcher and see the ball come. It should not be something coming straight at me. Like you said, I don't want to be blinking at it, you know? So I should be inside in the slot. And so we did our heel toe, that anchor foot, and then the slot foot. And the slot foot usually is around the back of the batter, you know, on a line, a perpendicular line from the pitcher's plate. So usually now all of that changes if the catcher moves, if the batter moves, if the batter's back in the box. All of that stuff can change, but those are adjustments from what should be your standard. So you know you've had a good game if you get done at the end of the game and there's two footprints, you know, or three footprints in the dirt, because you've got your plant foot, or what they're calling your anchor foot, and your pivot foot always going to the same spot. That was really consistent. It's really cool to be able to see the strike zone that way.
I usually have a set of footprints there because there's those, and then it's usually the ones from where I stood up and then took a step back and a step back. So I step back with each one of my feet. So ultimately kind of like two steps back, and then to step in, that ends up being step forward with the right, step forward with the left into that position. So up, one, two, back. One, two, in. So there's just a little footprint set over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then again, like you said, the important here is you're establishing that base wide enough to give you balance and bring your head to where it is. At the end of the game, if you are working an early game in the season, the thing that should hurt should be your thigh muscles, not your lower back. Lower back hurts, you're probably doing it wrong.
Yep. You got it. So what about distance from the catcher? Too close or too far away?
Yeah, so as we talked a little bit about the dangers of being too far away, but you want to be close enough that your head will move into that position between the catcher and batter when you first go into the set position, still giving the catcher room to do their thing. But a general rule of thumb for high school age competition is that your catcher side foot should be 10 to 12 inches behind the catcher, and your batter side foot should be in line with the catcher's feet. This should give the catcher freedom to move and react to the pitch, yet your head, once in the set position, will be forward that her movement does not block your view.
That's right. So your footprint should be an indicator of whether you're establishing a proper angle that puts your head into the slot. Should be able to see the heel-toe-toe-heel relationship to your feet. Your footprints for left-handed batters should mirror the footprints for the right-handed batter. So the how close thing, for me personally, I've been trucked once because I got too close. And when the catcher did not, depends on how the catcher was trained.
Yeah.
As to if they're going to do a blocking type of thing. If they block by going straight down and then over, right? So kick the feet out. Mm-hmm. So the knees go like no farther forward, right? So some catchers will fall forward to block, mm-hmm. And their knees move forward.
And more is like a collapse.
Yeah.
Like...
And then others will kick their toes out, mm-hmm. and straight down on their knees, yep. which is the faster way.
Yes.
So, you know, the faster the pitchers are throwing, that's the way you're going to need it. But what happens then, if that pitch is also inside and she makes that movement to move her body to block that pitch and she went straight down, mm-hmm. you got to be behind that. That's how I got trucked. So this one actually says your foot beside hers, your pivot foot beside hers.
Yeah. That'll get your leg taken out and that you, what you described.
In that situation there, it would. So mm-hmm. I have had to back up just a little bit to say, I'm going to put my toe at her heel if I can. If I can stay that far deep.
Yeah, and I think that's what I do.
All right, so dropping to the set position is the next piece to this. And once the pitcher starts her motion, the plate umpire should drop into the set position. That's a little late for me.
Yeah, because the movement could be slightly distracting. You try to time it up and it could be different and it doesn't work out, but you try to kind of get her cadence down.
Yep.
And so you want to drop in the, I like to drop in the set position just before she would do it. So while she's simulating taking the signal, you know she's only got a set amount of time to do it. You're not going to be down for very long. That's when I start to go down.
That's right. That's when I do it too. And it does change with each individual pitcher, right? They all have a different cadence to their motion.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get your timing right. I don't like moving while the pitch has started.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be set for that whole thing. So anyway, but you get down. The set position will put your eyes beside and no lower than the top of the batter strike zone, like we talked about. You'll be in the set position before the pitch is released so that you are stationary when tracking the ball. We will definitely be stationary because we will have set a little bit earlier than that. Any exaggerated movement while tracking the pitch can distort your perception of the pitch in relation to the strike zone. So tracking is more of just an eye movement. You need a slight head turn to keep your assigner happy, right?
Yeah.
Because they might not be able to see your eyes. I got, for years, I was tracking with my eyes only.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda, anytime she would watch, she would say, are you even tracking a pitch, David? Yes, ma'am. I will move my chin more. Sorry. You know. So yeah, a little bit of a chin move. But this is high school. This is NFHS, right? So mechanics for NFHS, a slight head turn to track the pitch. So.
And it helps. We've talked before that it also helps a little bit of people understanding where the pitch is and what you're calling. Because I saw it with my eyes. All right. But if you saw my head go down and to the right, it's like, okay, I know where that was. If you see my head go up and to the left a little, okay, that was probably up and in, you know, to a righty, you know, or up, straight up or down. You have some indication of kind of what you were thinking or seeing. It helps.
Right. And so they're saying tracking is more than just an eye movement here. So I may have misquoted them here. I apologize for that, anybody who wrote it. So it says it's more than just an eye movement. It involves watching the ball from the pitcher's hand to the catcher's glove with slight movement of the head guided by the nose. So exactly.
Yeah, nose the
so
ball.
I said to do it right. Yeah. I just kind of blamed them for not, or accused them of not doing it. So my fault, folks. Sorry about that. And then it clarifies that by saying it is a movement of the nose, which brings the head with the pitch as the eyes are looking at the ball. So follow the ball with your nose.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Yes. Slightly. Not a lot. A lot of head movement. Now it's how are you going to see when you're moving?
Yep. Two more, Pete. I think we have time.
Yeah, we can do it. Timing. So a reminder, track the pitch at all times, all the way to the catcher's glove, and then judge whether it was a strike or a ball. And track it to the catcher's glove, and then decide if it's a strike or a ball. Don't call that strike as soon as it crosses the front edge of the plate or a ball, you know, too early or anything else. Upon making your judgment, give a verbal ball or strike while still in the set position, then rise and give the strike signal if it was a strike. Timing is also important to your accuracy. If you rush, you may miss the pitch. So again, too, there's a mechanic piece here. You're down, pitch comes in, you judge it to be a strike, you verbalize, and then you stand up and then you make your signal. It's like, it's three steps, right? It's
yep.
Verbalize, rise, signal.
That's right.
And if it's a ball, it's verbalize, rise, no signal.
No signal. No nothing. Step back.
A look of general annoyance on my face.
Yeah. Start throwing strikes, young lady. We need to get to dinner. What are you doing? Yeah, so I love that. And the timing of it is, this is NFHS. Again, this is OHSAA we're talking mm-hmm. about here. So high school ball, that timing that Pete described is exactly perfect for high school ball and USA ball. Our NCAA umpires don't come at us and say that we're doing it wrong. This is the proper way for Federation ball and USA ball. So last is crowding the slot. So there are times when the batter crowds the plate in a manner that takes the slot away from you. When this happens, the best solution is to rise. Go to set a little higher so that you can see the pitch pass through the strike zone. It will be easier for you to adjust your strike zone for setting higher. Moving your head to the strike zone can create more problems. So don't just move your head. Go ahead and go up and stay at the same left-right. Don't lean. I was very guilty of that. You know, I was trying to lean around the batter. Sometimes. So, and this is one where maybe some more experienced umpires will recognize that player, you know, when they walk in for their second plate appearance and set differently.
Yeah.
You know, because that you know that player's gonna crowd you. And so you're gonna move and set differently so that you can see pitches for her. So that's all really good stuff here.
There's a little reminder here about your eyes. We talked about setting to the top of the zone. They give a good point here that one of the things you want to do is as you drop to your set position, stopping when your eyes are at the top of the zone, they want you to glance at the bottom of the zone, at the top of the batter's knees, and then bring your eyes back up to the top of the zone. Then focus on the pitcher and the release of the ball. Why? Because doing this will give you a reminder of the bottom and top of the zone. You have an idea of the width and height of what, or actually the height of what you're dealing with. This is especially helpful if you encounter a situation in which the catcher's positioning keeps you from taking your normal set position and your eyes positioned at the top of the zone. So this, quote, opens your eyes to their widest while watching the incoming pitch. So
yeah,
you
like
kind of get an idea of your spatial awareness. Do a little bit of that because different batters do have different heights of strike zones.
That's right.
And so get an idea of what I'm working with. And then when a ball goes through there, you recognize the area a little better. Maybe.
That's the only thing that changes a strike zone, size of the batter, right? And so each batter is different. And so setting your eyes at the bottom and top of that batter's strike zone when you first go set with them, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's great.
Good tip.
Great advice.
And not a bad way to end.
That's right. So thanks for listening.
Yeah. Until next time.